Investigators say they've built a powerful case against Osama bin Laden for the September 11th terrorist attacks, though getting details about a secret terrorist network is difficult and disrupting it is even harder. Some scholars believe the field of research known as social network analysis might help. Proponents believe the research could be used not only to crack existing networks, but to reveal ones currently hidden. NPR's Joe Palca reports.
Social network analysis can reveal things about organizations that even a trained observer can miss. For example, using network analysis on companies can reveal people analyst Kathleen Carley calls isolates.
An isolate is a person who is relatively disconnected from others in the company or in the group or in the society, who, you know, who's maybe different in terms of heredity or knowledge that they know, but it also spends more time alone, doesn't talk to others as much, and so on.
Carley says in companies, isolates frequently turn into the disgruntled employee who may steal security codes or other sensitive data. If such people could be identified in terrorist networks, they could be prime candidates for investigators looking for informants. Carley works on social networks at Carnegie Mellon University. She says researchers in her field also study how rumors spread through organizations. What they've learned suggests ways to spread false rumors through terrorist organizations, causing them to splinter or disintegrate.
Using these techniques, you could locate the individuals who were most likely to be able to spread that kind of rumor quickly, and least likely to double-check it to make sure that it was true. So you would look for individuals with something called high centrality, lots of connections to others, but with minimal connections to the powers that be to check that.
You'd also look for people with something called betweenness.
They're basically the individual that's on the path between any two people, so all information goes through them. And you'd kind of co-opt them and say, go along with this, okay?
The field of network analysis is a mix of disciplines. Sociology, for studying how people within a group interact with one another. Mathematics and computer science to show how these individual interactions reveal patterns within a larger group. It has already been applied to fighting crime. Jim Finkenauer is a criminologist at Rutgers University. During the 90s, he and colleague Elin Waring used the approach to investigate Russian mafia activities in New York.
One of the key kingpin figures in Russian organized crime is a fellow by the name of Ivankov. Ivankov was subsequently arrested, charged, and convicted of extortion, is now serving time in federal prison. He was a person who was in our networks. The network showed him to be associated with various other individuals who the investigators were following up.
But looking at known organizations is only part of the power of network analysis, says Malcolm Sparrow of Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Once you know of a criminal organization, says Sparrow, you can see how connections project outward from it.
Connecting people by their telephone contacts, by their folk who've been seen together, by people where money passes between their bank accounts, all kinds of other ways of connecting them and building the network from some starting point. And in the world of law enforcement, that's called tactical analysis or lead development.
Then you can use that information to disrupt a network's activities, such as freezing bank accounts of groups suspected of providing financial support to terrorists. But Sparrow says that's just the start.
There are many other opportunities, and in some cases much more powerful opportunities, not to work so much from what you know already and work outwards from that, which is tactical, but strategic applications, which would enable you to do broader pattern recognition across much larger databases and to discover the operations of groups that you didn't know were operating.
Consider the following scenario.
Suppose you had several groups of folk come into the U.S. who lived in different regions, who all received financial support from the same foreign bank account, who talked to each other a lot amongst themselves by long-distance telephone calls, but who had very few local short-distance telephone calls. In other words, they weren't connected with their local communities, and you could tell that from their telephone call usage patterns. Imagine further that they all used credit cards in different names, but that these credit card balances were often paid off from the same bank account.
This analysis could turn up the Pan-Asian All-Star Volleyball Team in America for a tournament, but it could reveal the existence of a terrorist group with murderous intentions. Sparrow says these pattern detection techniques are already being used. Credit card companies use them to watch for fraud. They don't focus on specific individuals. They look at all transactions.
From time to time, a credit card company may call you in the evening and say, you know, Mr. Polka, we noticed that you appeared to be shopping in two different cities 700 miles apart simultaneously today. That's a problem for us. We wondered if you could just confirm that that was you. And you don't object to the fact that your data has been passed through these kind of pattern recognition capabilities, even though you are in no way a suspect at that moment.
But you might object if the call came from the FBI or a new Homeland Defense agency instead of your own credit card company. Sparrow and others who see this kind of analysis as a useful tool against terrorism admit that it involves a level of government scrutiny far greater than we're exposed to today. David Jensen is at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst.
One of the surprising things right now is that marketing companies really know more about us individually than the government does. There's a huge amount of information that has gotten passed around between companies because until quite recently there have not been any kinds of strong privacy policies and certainly not any privacy law in the United States.
Government agencies are definitely looking at possible uses of this kind of information. Even before the September 11th attacks, a Pentagon agency was soliciting grants for the study of network analysis applied to asymmetric threats, the military term for broad-scale terrorist attacks. Jensen says there will be pressure to open currently closed records to government scrutiny.
The balance between how much we want security and what kind of privacy we want as well, that's a very difficult balance to strike.
At least for the moment, the September 11th attacks seem to have shifted that balance point closer to the security end of the scale. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.